wanted to take a picture.
It's fantastic.
It's beautiful. Thank you for being here. Before we begin, Carrie and I want to clarify that we are both retiring. She's going to try it for the first time. Heaven help her, because I'm in the house most of the time by myself, so I have my ways. We don't know exactly what's ahead of us. We planned some trips. We know that we will probably be doing some mission kinds of things, but we're open to whatever God has in mind. And he's still talking with us. But we want to make it clear, too, that this is going to still be our church home. You'll see us here a good bit of the time, but our roles will be different. And we'll be members of the choir. Carrie will continue to be in the praise team. And somehow I got put on the missions commission. The missions ministry tree. And when you want to hear God laugh, tell him God's plans, or God tell him Dave's plans. You know, God always has something for me to do. So thank you for being here, and let's pray for a moment. Oh God, we pray to you, thanking you for your presence in our lives. We ask your blessing upon us as we reflect upon our ministries here. And we thank you for calling this community of faith together on this day. Open our hearts that we might hear your word for us this day. Amen.
Amen. You might think from the title of the sermon, how can we say thanks, that we're going to take this opportunity to thank all of you. And certainly we're grateful for the blessing of being a part of this community of faith. We have spent our entire married life being enriched by the supportive community and the mission and ministry of Chapel Hill. However, because we have gathered in this place with grateful hearts to worship God together, on this day and every day, it is all about giving thanks to God. How can we say thanks to God? If you receive a particularly beautiful gift, how do you thank the giver? You probably say thank you in some manner, either in person or in a thank you note. But if it is a particularly beautiful and cherished gift, you will probably treat it with great care. Maybe you will find a very special place to keep it. Maybe you enjoy sharing it with others because it brings you so much joy. These actions are also ways to say thank you to the giver of the gift. In this passage of scripture from Ephesians, Paul is asking a community of faith, the early Christians, to act in some pretty specific ways. He knows they have all received a beautiful and cherished gift from God in his Son, Jesus. And the way to say thank you to God is in how they choose to conduct their lives. Listen to how Eugene Peterson in The Message translates this passage.
And remember, Paul is writing this from jail. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road God called you to travel. I don't want you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called. Hear that again. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. We're talking a bit this morning about call. A call from God to use one's gifts in some kind of ministry. And an invitation from God to every one of us to a deeper spiritual life. It's available to everyone. And it is up to each person, it's up to each one of us to decide today how we will respond. I'm going to start with Carrie. And how have you felt this call? How have you felt this call, and how has it lived out in your ministry?
I remember pretty early in my life feeling drawn to a life of discipleship, even before I could articulate very well my own faith beliefs. I knew that a feeling of deep spiritual connection with God was growing within me. Seeds planted in me through a faithful and nurturing church family, and many opportunities to learn about, explore, and encounter a gospel of love drew me closer and closer to that deep connection. In high school, I began to offer myself in leadership in youth ministry, camping ministries, and in the committee work of the local church, and I had my first mission trip experiences. I don't remember exactly when I first heard the quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." But I do remember in that moment, I saw myself in those words. That short sentence has been a guiding principle of my life and ministry. I care very much about how my actions and choices every day reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. With God's help, I strive to live life with humility, compassion, forgiveness, and grace. My call has always been clear to me, and it is a call to lay ministry in the church. I have always wanted my work and ministry in the church to be an inspiration to other lay people in hopes it would help them discover where God could use their gifts in ministry. The work of ministry in the church is a cooperative one, and the ministry of the laity is lifted up and recognized to be just as vital as the ministry of the ordained. 30 years ago, my desire to be in lay ministry coincided with Chapel Hill's search for a church secretary. I said to God, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And God did, and it was good. Dave, share a bit about your call to ordained ministry.
Back when I was 14, I was involved in a church youth group, and we're grateful that we have a portion of our youth group filling up the first two rows down here this morning, and we're grateful for that. My church was... I was very, very thankful for that church because it was a church where I could always ask questions. There was never a bad question. And they would always help me find an answer. It was a very mission-oriented congregation. And I can remember Christmas baskets back then and Thanksgiving food for others. But I felt a call to some kind of mission service, and I imaged myself as being a missionary in Africa. That didn't happen. But all of my churches, I think, were blessed by my commitment to missions. And God continued to put me into places and experiences where I could use them for the growing of his work. God and I have had an interesting walk together, and it continues. Back in 1990, I have a strip in my files of my heart had stopped. I was making hospital calls in the old Battle Creek health system, and I didn't feel real well. And so I went to my doctor who sent me over to Borges because there wasn't any space in either one of the hospitals here. And I arrived in early afternoon, and that evening when I was in the hospital and Carrie was bedside, and they had came in and gave me some medicine, and that didn't seem to help my pain. And so a little later, they gave me some more. And I said to them both, the nurse was there, I think I'm going out. And the next thing I knew, I was out. And Carrie, it's really her story, says she never saw a nurse move so quick, and the nurse grabbed the end of my bed and lifted it up. And they brought the crash cart down, but they didn't have to use the crash cart. They put a temporary pacemaker in that night, and while they were doing that, God and I talked for a while. And kind of got the word, I'm not finished with you yet. And a few years later, I was diagnosed with Crohn's. And I'd worked with Crohn's patients a lot in the hospital and was aware of what that was like. And God and I continued our conversation of life. And I got the word, I'm not done with you yet. God has always provided the strength that I needed. My scripture that I work on and constantly feel the call when I'm invited to do something I didn't think I could do is that passage from Philippians, the fourth chapter, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I've been gleaning some files to make way for other things. And I discovered that at Chapel Hill, I've done at least 31 trips in the years that I've been on staff. And God gave me the strength to do that, even though my body had sometimes said, you're crazy. I want to give a gift to two people who have touched my lives by their walk in faith and who have been sensitive to God's call to them. So, Janet and Andrea, would you come and join us up here? You don't have a choice. Oh, as Andrea grabs the Kleenex, I had a friend who became aware that I was suffering from a cold or something and arrived this morning with Kleenex, but this one has soothing lotion on it. So I appreciate that very much. Those of you who have been in our home are aware that we have a pretty extensive collection of chalices. And so we want to give them to people who might have a use for them. And so to you, Janet, I give you this one that shows grape leaves growing around it. And I chose this one for you because I first met you when you were helping other people grow things in the landscaping business. But I've seen you grow in your faith and in your journey, and you're helping other people to grow in their spiritual life as well.
Thank you. Amen.
And this one to you, Andrea. You have great skills in helping people to cross the divides between cultures, between different feelings about where the church should be, and you have the skills to bring people together in Christ.
Thank you.
Carrie, sometimes following God's call is nice and it's cozy and it's comfortable. Sometimes following God's call is challenging and puzzling and unsettling. Share with us a little bit what's been helpful to you in navigating the rough times.
Well, actually, the scripture lesson today is like a blueprint from Paul for a life of discipleship. Getting through the tough days in life and in ministry call for all of the resources that Paul suggests. Remembering to work at being humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, and peaceful comes in especially handy in challenging times. The ability to display these things in any circumstance is a continual learning process. It involves leaning in to God's word and lingering there a bit. It involves looking at all people as human beings, created in God's image, and letting go of anger and prejudice. It involves listening, both listening to God and listening to each other, both of whom often require patience. Probably what helps me the most on tough days is acknowledging the unconditional gifts of forgiveness and grace I have been given, and remembering that these gifts are also available for me to give to others. Love like Jesus. Every day I get a new chance. What are some of the things that are helpful to you in navigating the tough times in ministry?
You know that I'm an avid photographer. One of the things that I've often done in my ministry is when a day was getting rough, I would say, I'll be back in a few minutes. Maybe a couple of hours I'd show up. But I'd have my camera with me. And Carrie has often said, why did you take that picture? When she saw it later. And I said, I don't know. But later, when I would do one of my Christmas slideshows, one of those pictures of nature might show up. Because when you're looking through a lens, it helps you to focus differently. And you're focused on some of the fineness and the beauty of God and his creative ability. So photography for me has been a spiritual experience, and it has helped me through difficult days. I've often said to folks in this congregation and in others, pray without ceasing, and I take that seriously. I pray a lot. I don't always have my eyes closed. I may be walking through our home and I'll see something that somebody gave me or gave us, and I'll pray for that person. I might be reading something in the newspaper, and I'll pray for that situation and those who are involved in it and those who have to try to resolve it. It's easy, I think, for a lot of us to get road rage. And I have spent my life, my cars always have a lot of mileage on them. But I've spent praying for people who weren't very gracious to the rest of us who were on the road. So prayer is just an important part of our lives. And I think from time to time, things have come up out of my past and the past of others that I've had privilege to walk through their life, and they're wrestling with how can God use me? I've done this, I've done that. And it's inappropriate for a Christian. And these little pieces of paper here symbolize some of the things that might stand in the way of somebody wanting to respond to the loving people, but they're having a hard time understanding that God loves them. They may have had a problem with drugs or alcohol. And so that gets in the way of them walking with Jesus. Sometimes they've done something inappropriate in their business world. They've cheated somebody. They've charged a higher price. Or maybe they even took an extra tip from the cash register. And it's troubled them for decades. And they don't think Jesus loves them because of what they did a long time ago. They may have had difficulty in their family, and they have a sense of hate towards others. There maybe was even some abuse involved, and they know that God knows everything, and so they can't really quite walk with him, because they know what he knows. There are those who have made poor decisions, and they wonder how God could love them when they decided a certain thing that certainly goes against God's will for us. And so they carry that great sense of guilt, and that gets in the way of responding to God's call. They may feel that they've wasted the time that God has given them on this earth. And so they feel guilty. And they may have been unkind to this earth. They may have used too much water. They may have abused the earth in some way. And they know the earth is God's gift to us. And so they carry that guilt. And one of the things they've forgotten is that when we come to Christ and we say, Lord, I love you, and I haven't lived the way that you would have me live, help me. He does. And all the things that we carry in our hearts and on our shoulders, the weight that we carry when we come to Christ. It's all gone. Our sins are lifted away from us. And we are free to serve a God who loves us. Every one of us sitting in this place of worship this morning has a gift that we can use to give thanks to God because He has lifted our burdens and He has something for us to do for Him so others may know the joy and the love of Jesus Christ.
That question, how can we say thanks to God? That question reminds me of another question, a question a teacher of religious law asked Jesus. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbors as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of religious law might have well asked Jesus, "How can we say thanks to God? Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is how we can say thanks to God." It's a simple message, really. It's the gospel of love. May we all accept the gift of life and love God has given us and give God thanks in the way we love each other. Preach the gospel at all times, my friends, and if necessary, use words.
Would you pray with me? O Creator of us all, we know in our hearts that you need every one of us. Poets and painters, dancers, singers and music makers, builders and designers, typists and sellers of computer magic makers, teachers and doctors, huggers and prayers, and child caregivers. Oh Lord, we give you thanks when we recognize that each of us has gifts to share, for we are blessed by your Spirit to dare. To dare a new idea, a clear vision, a word of hope, a kindness given. To dare a persistent prayer, a call to action, faithful love, and ongiving compassion, ongoing compassion, and a vibrant smile, a gentle touch, a shout for justice. Each means so much. We thank you this morning, God, for making us aware that you need every one of us, each with gifts to share, each with good news to bear. Amen.